I'm old, but I'm not as old enough to remember sheep grazing on Hampstead Heath. But I look around our congregation, and maybe some of you do. It was back in the 50s, so you don't have to be that old to remember it. Sheep haven't grazed there for a very long time, but I read last week that they're reintroducing some sheep onto Hampstead Heath because they want to experiment with a more environmentally friendly way of maintaining the area. Isn't that amazing? Sheep on Hampstead Heath. The sheep are going to be penned off to protect them from dogs because sheep are defenceless creatures. Sheep are hopeless when they come against anything that's going to do them any harm. They can't fight. They don't really have teeth or claws. They can't run because they've got really little legs. They're afraid of water because sheep don't swim. And most of you, I'm sure, know that if a sheep falls on its back, it stays there until somebody rolls it over and it can get back up again. And apparently, I did not know this, apparently sheep can be frightened into having a heart attack just by imagining something is going to attack them, even if it doesn't actually do the job. Sheep really need looking after. Even on Hampstead Heath, sheep are going to need some protection. But nothing like the protection that the sheep needed in the semi-desert lands of the grazing areas that we read of in the Bible. Most of the major cities in the Bible had desert on the eastern side, and that's where villagers would tend to keep their sheep. Sheep, I've learnt a lot about sheep this week. Sheep graze, and they graze and they graze and they graze, and they graze deep down to the point where they chew up even the roots of what it is they're eating. And so sheep will destroy their feeding areas if they're not moved on to new and fresh pastures. And in Bible times, there were seasons, well, actually, in the Middle East even now, it hasn't changed that much. There are seasons when it's very dry and all the stream and the waterbeds dry up. But when it gets very wet in the rainy seasons, these streams fill up with water, and the water that flows through these streams is extremely fast. And because sheep are frightened of water, because sheep don't swim, they have to be taken to still waters so that they can drink, because if they fall in, they'll be washed away. The paths that they might have walked along would be fairly treacherous, particularly for something that when it falls over, it can't get back up again. And their shepherd would have been armed with a great big stick, not to fight off a few domestic dogs, but to get rid of wolves and other mean and horrible beasts. In Jesus' day, everybody understood what a shepherd did, and everybody understood what the images meant when King David wrote that Psalm 23 and the images that we've just been singing about in that hymn. Jesus knew that when he talked to his audience of Pharisees and others about being a shepherd, that was picture language for the way God loved his people. They would have got that. They would have got that it referred to the care that God shows towards humanity. But we're now moving into John's Gospel further. We're moving into chapter 10. And here, Jesus not only reminds the people that are listening to what he's saying how much God cares for people, but Jesus starts to use the shepherd and the sheep picture language as a way of explaining the relationship God wants his sheep to have with the good shepherd, which is how Jesus describes himself. So if you've got a Bible or you use the Bible on your phone, open it up to chapter 10 if you're using a church Bible. It's on or around page 1076. And I'm going to read the first 21 verses. Jesus says, "I tell you for certain that only thieves and robbers climb over the fence instead of going in through the gate to the sheep pen. But the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd and he goes in through it. The sheep know their shepherd's voice. He calls each one of them by name and he leads them out. When he's led out all of his sheep, he walks in front of them and they follow because they know his voice. The sheep will not follow strangers. They don't recognize a stranger's voice and they run away." Jesus told the people this story, but they didn't understand what he was talking about. Jesus said, "I tell you for certain that I'm the gate for the sheep. Everyone who came before me was a thief or a robber, and the sheep didn't listen to any of them. I am the gate. All who come in through me will be saved. Through me, they will come and go and find pasture. A thief comes only to rob, kill, and destroy. I come so that everyone will have life and will have it in its fullest. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives up his life for his sheep. Hired workers are not like the shepherd. They don't own the sheep. And when they see a wolf coming, they run off and leave the sheep. The wolf attacks and scatters the flock. Hired workers run away because they don't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me. I know the Father, and I give up my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them together too when they hear my voice. Then there will be one flock of sheep and one shepherd. The Father loves me because I give up my life so that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life from me. I give it up willingly. I have the power to give it up and the power to receive it back again, just as my Father commanded me to do." The people took sides because of what Jesus had told them. Many of them said, "He has a demon in him. He's crazy. Why listen to him?" But others said, "How could anyone with a demon say these things? No one like that could give sight to a blind person." And of course, they were remembering the story that we looked at last week. I wish I had time this morning to unpack the whole of this piece of scripture because it is most amazing and I can't. So I'm going to drill down and focus on just one thing. And it's to paint a picture as to this relationship, how sheep can recognize their shepherd's voice. At night, in the pastures, it was safer for sheep to go into a sheep pen than to be left out unprotected. So there were communal sheep pens, and a shepherd would share this with other shepherds and obviously with their flock of sheep. And in the morning, each shepherd would call their sheep. And a shepherd might use his voice or he might use a little pipe or some other musical instrument. But as soon as the shepherd called or played the tune, all the little sheep heads would bob up and they'd go, "That's mine." And off they'd go. They'd follow their shepherd out of the sheep pen. They recognized the particular distinctive call of their shepherd, and they didn't therefore go off after the wrong shepherd. And this is what Jesus is saying we can do. We can learn to hear the good shepherd's voice. But hearing his voice can be a bit of a challenge to us. How do we know that the voice we're hearing is his and not our own? One of the difficulties we have are the sheer number of voices that there are in our lives. Voices that are active and voices that are always vying for our attention, often giving us confusing and conflicting messages. There's our own internal voice. That's the voice that all too often convicts us and condemns us, it tempts us, it criticizes us, and it confuses us. Our own internal voice reminds us of the past, and it might be reinforced by words of people, voices from either our past or in our present day. And often the impact of those voices can be positive and uplifting, but equally, the impact might be damaging and degrading. And we hear this voice or these voices in our minds. There's the cacophony of voices that society throws at us. What should we look like? How should we behave? What sort of people should we be? What should we buy? How can we live a better life? There are more ideas as to how we can live a better life than I think probably days we have to live out our lives. And these messages come through to us through social media, through magazines, through television, through the people we mix with, we socialise with, the books we read, the films we see. We are being bombarded by voices all the time. We have an emotional voice that talks to us, and it reminds us of our anxieties and our fears. It reminds us of our failures and our mistakes, and this voice can be overwhelmingly loud for some of us in our lives. And some of us have a very strong rational voice. It demands proof and evidence and truth. And on the subject of truth, what truth do we believe? Because again, there seems to be almost a different truth for every day of the year. There's the voice of our heart that's governed by wants and needs, desiring nothing more than to be safe and happy and successful. And so the description of these voices that speak into our lives go on. And it's hardly surprising that it's confusing. In all of this racket, how can we hear the Good Shepherd's voice? And yet, it is essential that we learn to hear his distinctive call. It's essential for our own well-being and for the world that we live in that we recognise the Good Shepherd's voice. Currently, at home, we have two cats, Echo and Zeltie. But I've got a sad story. 4 years ago, we moved with a cat called Smudge. One of the things that we did to ensure his well-being was to try and make sure that he was in at night. And one night, we called him in, and he either didn't hear or he chose to ignore our voice. And the bottom line is, he didn't come home. So we then thought, well, if our voice isn't enough, we'll use Cat Crunch, because that always does the trick for a greedy cat. And so we stood at the door and in the garden and we rattled Cat Crunch. And even the voice of food was either ignored or he didn't hear it. But the bottom line was, he didn't come home. And as a family, we were devastated a few hours later. We got a phone call from the vet who tracked us down through the microchip, and she told us of an accident that had happened on the road. We tried to keep our beautiful Smudge safe, but he either couldn't hear or he chose to ignore the voices of those he belonged to who'd committed to keep him safe and to look after him. We, as Christians, belong to Jesus, and he has committed to keep us safe. And so he encourages us to hear his voice, to listen to his voice, and to recognize his voice so that he can be that very good shepherd all of the time. Such a good shepherd that he's willing to lay down his life for his flock. Of course, sometimes we choose to ignore his voice. But I think all too often we don't respond to his voice because we just don't hear. It's a question I've been asked loads and loads of time, and of course it's a question that I ask myself. So how can I be sure that the voice I'm listening to is the voice of the Good Shepherd? How can I learn to recognize Jesus's voice? And we need to acknowledge that there is a huge amount of mystery around hearing God's voice and the way that he speaks to us. And if I could give you a simple answer to that question, I would. But I want to give you this morning, not a simple answer, but a few sort of suggestions in terms of disciplines and questions we can ask ourselves so that we can continue to learn how to hear the Good Shepherd's voice. The first thing we need to remember is that there's an enemy at work who loves to confuse us, to accuse us, and to excuse us from developing a relationship with Jesus. Jesus himself was tempted and tested by the enemy to sin when he spent time in the desert. Jesus was tempted to satisfy the flesh. He was tempted to satisfy his ego. He was tempted to satisfy his emotions. He was tempted to matters of materialism and power and satisfaction. We need to remember that there is the voice of an enemy who is at work, and he wants to confuse us, accuse us, and excuse us from having a relationship with Jesus, our Lord. And so to overcome the work of that enemy, we need to get into the habit of spending time with Jesus. Preferably spending time with Jesus with a Bible in our hands. You see, when we hear something and we're not sure whether it's the Good Shepherd speaking or not, when we listen with a Bible, we can ask the question, is it consistent with the nature and the personality of God? Is what I'm hearing consistent with his word? Can it be supported by what we read in here? If you're not sure where to start reading your Bible, I would encourage you to start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, because they're the stories about Jesus. And as we familiarise ourselves with the stories about Jesus, it helps us ask those questions. Is this consistent? Is it in keeping with who Jesus says he is? Examine what the voice that you're hearing is drawing out of you. What is it saying about you? Is it making you more anxious, or is it soothing your fears? Does it make you feel better about yourself or worse? Is it developing your understanding of the amazing grace we live in because of Jesus? Or is it feeding a sense of God's disapproval or rejection? Is this voice making you more selfish or less, more self-focused, or taking in on board the needs of others around? Perhaps it's helpful to seek out mature Christians, people that you respect. Is what you're hearing consistent with their understanding of who God is and who Jesus says he is? Do they sense God's voice in what you're saying? Is there any common wisdom in what it is you're hearing? Is there a consensus amongst others in terms of the fact that you believe you're hearing from God? And the final question that I would encourage you to ask is what this voice saying, is it bringing glory to God? Is it building God's kingdom? Is what it's saying requiring faith in you? Is it growing you in your relationship with him? They're just a few disciplines and a few questions we might ask ourselves when we hear voices that might be conflicting and we're not sure whether we're hearing the voice of Jesus. These few questions and disciplines can help us learn to hear his voice. But of course, Jesus' voice doesn't come in one particular way. Occasionally, just occasionally, it is an audible voice, as if he's in the room. I was driving one day and I heard a voice say, "Go to Moorlands Bible College," and I nearly crashed the car because I was alone. It was only me in the driver's seat. But that doesn't happen very often, I would suggest. More often, it's a voice we hear in our mind. But sometimes Jesus speaks to us through a picture, or through a Bible verse, or through a story in the Bible, or a character. Sometimes Jesus will speak to us through the voice of another person. Sometimes it comes to us as a feeling, an overwhelming feeling, and we get a gut reaction. I've seen people that have said, "I know it's God speaking because I'm feeling a pain," and they're given a physical pain, and they know it's their Saviour's voice, not because he wants to cause them pain, but he is speaking of a pain. I'm not talking about a person here. You get what I'm trying to say, I hope. Sometimes we just know. We just have that sense because physically we feel warm, or our heart starts beating, or our fingers start tingling. We can't explain it, but we just know we've heard the voice of Jesus. And he won't speak to us in one way, the same way, all of the time, because he wants us to learn to recognize the different tones and the different color and the variety in his voice. So we spend time with him, learning to hear his voice. And we shouldn't beat ourselves up if we get it wrong, if we don't instantly recognize it as him, or if we get confused. On that first Easter Sunday, when the women found Jesus' tomb empty, John tells us that Mary Magdalene, who loved Jesus, she would have said, "I know him so well." But she was so distressed, she didn't immediately recognize him or recognize his voice. John tells us she stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt and to look into the tomb. She saw two angels sitting there dressed in white, one at the head and the other at the foot where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" And she said, "They took my master, and I don't know where they put him." After she said this, she turned away and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" And she thought she was listening to the gardener. She said, "Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." And it wasn't until Jesus said, "Mary," she realized who was talking to her. She recognized his voice. We have a lifetime of spending time with Jesus and learning to listen to the ways that he is speaking to us. But I encourage you to spend your time with a Bible in your hand and ask some of those questions. What is it drawing out of me? What are others saying into this situation? And does it bring glory to God? There are so many voices that would seek to destroy us. That is the enemy at work. The Good Shepherd wants to grow us, call us, protect us, lead us, guide us, and to keep us safe until we finally see him face to face in that day to come. This week, it's our week of prayer. This week, we have the opportunity to spend time practicing listening to God, listening and learning to hear the voice of Jesus. On a Tuesday and Thursday evening, we're gathering in here, and during the day, this space will be available for you to come and spend quiet time with him. And I encourage you to do that, so that we can continue to grow in our expertise in learning to hear the Good Shepherd's voice.